The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam, I'm not with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
He ran the ropes. He ran the ropes.
Yeah, you're talking about Phillip Brooks did his StarCast video today, and CM Punk will be live to answer questions when he has a live microphone. Things happen, and we still don't know who's interviewing him. My best guess would be Conrad.
Yeah, I think so as well.
But that's kind of the draw beforehand. StarCast has a lot of good stuff going on, but as Joel and I have kind of talked about behind the scenes here, well, off air, you know, if you're not going to StarCast to Chicago, I don't know if it's really worth the money. What they're giving to you on Fight, I'm surprised that they're not kind of giving it to you a package. Obviously, the Punk thing is a draw, but I'll be interested. I wish I could have the numbers for Fight because I'd love to see how many people are going to tune in for the Punk thing. Because I mean, look, CM Punk's my favorite wrestler, but $40 to hear CM Punk talk seems to be a lot, especially when you know that's probably going to suffice on YouTube about 24 hours later.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, I guess the charge of it is that, hey, makes you want to, you should actually be there for this, as opposed to just being like, oh, I'll just order this over the Fight app. It is a little bit of a shame, but the buzz is created around Punk. There is a definite buzz, and I think this will give a very small boost to the All Out pay-per-view buys. Like, their buy rate will probably see a slight boost, especially if there's any inclination that Punk could be there. I think this definitely kind of boosts it puts me at a 60-40, where 40 he'll be there and 60 he won't. I was going to ask you, because this debate popped up online, and I'm curious to see what you do. What is more valuable to All Elite Wrestling? If Punk signs on the dotted line and you have him, do you have him at All Out generating buzz heading into October 2nd, or do you have him surprise October 2nd a la Lex Luger?
Well, realistically, I would do him the next week, so I guess it would be the surprise, because the draw of the show is already big enough, right? No, I don't. You and I have kind of had this discussion. No matter what happens, the first AEW show is going to beat NXT, for example. I just think in the ratings, just because of the buzz is going to be there. The thing that would be drawing in next will be like what happens next. So yeah, I almost would do the surprise. Now there's also the situation of maybe you just do him a surprise at All Out, and that adds to the buzz of the second, and then you know, okay, well, CM Punk is going to be on that first show. It's interesting. I can see both sides of it. Personally, I think I would have him as a surprise on the television. Where do you go with?
I'd have him at the pay-per-view. I'd have him at the pay-per-view, and then you don't have anything with Punk. You have it be CM Punk will have a live microphone October 2nd, and you advertise the hell of it. You don't feature him in the road to the TV tapings. And weekly TV, you just stay quiet on it. Punk doesn't want to speak. Punk will talk live to be the lead into the from the first to the second hour. And
yeah,
I think that's a big enough draw. And if you announce, like, if you suddenly announce that Punk's going to be at some of these like Pittsburgh and. West Virginia and little things like that kind of create a little buzz and boost up those ticket sales even more. I think the Wednesday Night Wars would be very interesting with Phil Brooks involved. For all we know, Phil will have nothing to do with anything AEW, and he will carry on with his life and try to figure out how to climb the ropes again, climb to the top rope and run the ropes again. But with everything that's happened, there's a lot of interest and intrigue where they're not. It's very interesting because they're not saying Punk is going to be at All Out, but every little thing that kind of happened kind of leads you down that rabbit hole. So it's either Punk won't be there and fans will be disappointed, but when you look at it, they'll be like, well, look, they never said Punk's going to be there. The other thing is, well, if Punk shows up, it'll be like, oh, there were all these little breadcrumbs that led us to this.
It's interesting, too. I would say that over the past decade, CM Punk is one of the top five names that's made a name for himself outside of professional wrestling. Obviously, the top three are The Rock, John Cena, Batista, but but Punk is right in there. I would argue, mainstream-wise, I think maybe more people know who CM Punk is than Chris Jericho even. No. And I think a lot of that has to do just with the situation of UFC and the fights that he's had with the UFC. And that the variety that he's added with that, and obviously drawing the ratings that he had with that. It's a debate for another day. But the bottom line is, he's the biggest free agent, if he is a free agent, that's out there in professional wrestling. And wherever he goes, as far as wrestling fans, it's going to swing the pendulum. If, you know, you talked about with Mo yesterday that, well, the last pod you guys had, that there was the talks with FS1 about doing stuff from there. If he returns to WWE, that's going to be a big deal. If he goes to AEW, that's going to be a big deal because everyone has been waiting for him to return to professional wrestling. So whatever side that he goes on, it's looking more and more each day that it is AEW. Whichever side that he goes on, the anticipation is going to be skyrocketed.
Yeah, and that will be what is now my next question. Just go down the rabbit hole a little bit. What is Punk's first program with AEW?
If he isn't, yeah. I mean, it's got to be Kenny Omega, right? That's probably where I would go. I mean, Chris Jericho's obviously familiar. The two had a feud in WWE where they wanted to do a lot more than what they were led on to. Obviously, when Punk left WWE, Jericho was one of the people that he called out, and the two had a minor beef. Jericho said that, you know, they're fine now, but obviously Punk on the podcast with Colt Cabana called out Jericho once or twice on that about kind of being a suck-up and all that, so you can go that direction as well. Cody, I'm sure you could kind of go that way as well. There's a few ways to go, but at the top of my list, it would be Jericho or Kenny.
I think I'd probably go Cody.
Cody works too.
I could, like, just off the top of my head, if Cody's inner circle becomes like the AEW's version of the Four Horsemen, you could have Spears, MJF, maybe Hangman, maybe the Bucks, and then you round it out with Punk, and Punk eventually becomes the head figure, and you can kick Spears out, you can have something there. I just think that, and we're gonna get to it, but I just think Moxley and Kenny would be way too hot to just skip over, and just
for sure
just circumvent for Punk. And I think that you throw him against Cody, that's something that you kind of sink your teeth into, especially based on all the character work and the promos between those two. I think that would be the way to go. And if you paired Punk with a group like Spears and had like a little Four Horsemen-esque group, that means that Punk's not having to be there every week. Punk's not going to wrestle nearly as much. So that way you kind of preserve Punk and preserve the special aspect. The speciality of CM Punk.
My question for you is, we hadn't really talked about I never had to talk to you and Mo about this. In the situation that it is an AEW, and this is just him kind of teasing him in AEW, and it is the shift to, let's say, he goes to SmackDown, where would you want to see him for the WWE components of things?
Well, the thing is, from everything that was said about that is, it would be dealing with Fox and FS1. It would be
I understand that. I'm just saying, if he was in the ring, just for fantasy sakes.
I don't know. I mean, he'd probably want to go to Raw because that's where Heyman is. He'd probably want to be more near Heyman. Right. So, because apparently Heyman is working very hands-on with Sasha, so Heyman has pet projects on Monday Night Raw that he's working on. Some are working, some aren't. I don't think that Sasha promo was particularly good. I wonder if Sasha's already kind of just meh on the whole thing. I didn't like her promo.
You liked the Sasha? I did. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I thought it just came off as very core. I didn't believe it. You know, you've heard promos like the Kenny promo that we're going to get to. You believe that. Sasha one just fell very flat to me.
Yeah.
And I could see if Punk's going to go anywhere, he's going to go where Heyman is. That would be my 2 cents and my best guess.
Fair point. I mean, I would say if I was going the pendulum of where he's going, I would say 95-5 for AEW. And if it is WWE, it's obviously just in a hosting role. We know he's been doing that a little bit for the UFC. He's hosted that game show thing on Netflix. So he's definitely kind of eased himself more into a hosting role type of thing. Obviously, I don't see that in AEW. They have enough announcers, more than enough announcers now, as we've seen by the pendulum shift, taking Marvez off the broadcast, putting Golden Boy there, and also hiring Tony Schiavone this week. I don't think AEW needs any more host or broadcasters.
No, they've done a very good job filling out that. And I think Golden Boy is a great signing for them.
Yeah, that was probably the best three panel they had with Excalibur, Golden Boy, and JR. JR is obviously not where he used to be, but he's good in small doses to, you know, kind of give the small antidotes while letting Golden Boy and Excalibur hit the bigger points and the bigger moves and the action when needed be. But at the same time, JR can also add a big match feel.
Yeah. And back to Punk. I'm still like 60-40 that Punk's not wrestling, and I still maintain that. I don't expect to see him at All Out. It'd be really cool if he did show up, but I'm still maintaining I don't think we're going to see CM Punk in a ring.
No, I don't think so either. So we got a busy Saturday, Joel. So we got NXT. I think really quickly, I just want to kind of preview NXT TakeOver Cardiff. I can't say I watch a lot of the NXT UK product. I know you're not as also familiar, so we'll kind of just do a brief look at the card. We don't have to do predictions on there, maybe just an overall roundabout. But for the Women's Championship, you have Toni Storm versus Kaylee Ray. You have Walter versus Tyler Bate. You have a triple threat championship for the NXT tag titles with Zach Gibson and James Drake, the current champions, against Mark Madsen and Flash Morgan Webster. And they face Gallus, a team of Mark Coffey and Wolfgang. And then there's the last man standing. It's Mark Coffey, not Joe Coffey. Then there's the last man standing match with Joe Coffey and Dave Metzef. And then a singles match with Travis Banks and Noam Dar. And it seems like we're getting Cassius Ohno and Cesaro on the card as well.
It sounds like a good card. I think Walter and Pete will be, Tyler Bates will be good.
That's the name for now. I'm Pete.
There's a lot of, it's a growing brand, and having a guy like Cesaro there for a bit will definitely help flush it out a bit and help get a little more eyeballs on this. Just kind of saw a headline. Conrad has more or less come out and said, do not expect Punk at All Out.
Sorry?
Okay. Conrad said that don't expect Punk at All Out.
That was the thing that John Pollock and Meltzer had asked. Is if, and you and I had this discussion, if he's not going to be there, do you just come right out and say, like, he's not going to be there just to stop people being like, because there's going to be a disappointment for some people if he's like, oh, well, Punk was on the show, so it sucked. So it's almost better to get in front of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd much rather get ahead of it than behind.
And back to NXT TakeOver really quick. Do you see any of the, you know, as far as the women in the men's championship goes, do you see any title changes with Tony or Walter?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. And it seems, too, like the main competitor – for Toni Storm, she's now moved to the regular NXT to be against Shayna Baszler with Rhea Ripley. So I'm excited. I've never seen Kaylee Ray. I hope to get an opportunity to see this show. It's earlier on the Saturday, so maybe I'll get a chance. But who knows with the WWE Network. It's different every day when it wants to work and when it doesn't work lately in Canada. So who knows?
if I'll be able to watch it.
That's a whole other podcast and a very long rant.
Yeah, so hopefully in Canada I get the chance to watch it, but some days it decides it doesn't want to play on an iPad or on an Apple TV, and some days it does. So who knows?
I just go on a small rant. As a Canadian, you shouldn't be forced to sit in front of a desktop computer to watch your professional wrestling, especially with WWE. You should have it figured out where you're able to sign in via your iPad, via your iPhone, or via your Apple TV so you can watch it on that 4K TV that you spent money on. The fact that you can't be bothered to have it work properly up here in Canada, and this is what, 3 weeks after their big launch, and oh, it's all new and fancy. Some days it works, some days it doesn't. This is really small, like this is first world problems at its finest. Yeah. But you're a big company, you should have this figured out, especially for a market like Canada, coming off SummerSlam, which, surprise surprise, Canada was the host country.
Another event going on, too, on the 31st, like I said, it's a busy day, is New Japan Royal Quest, just kind of running through the card for that. Again, we're not going to really make predictions mainly on this, just kind of run through the card of what they have, just for some of the main matches, obviously. So you have Kota and Juice against the Bullet Club, which is Takahashi and Higlu. You have Chaos of Will Ospreay and Robbie Eagles against the Bullet Club of Taja Ishimura and El Fantasmo. El Fantasmo has been making a lot of headlines the last few days, Joel.
I haven't seen any of the Super J Cup, so it better not involve that.
So he's been making some waves. That's all. I've been hearing a lot of that. You have Los Ensombres of Nyato and Sonata against the Bullet Club of Jay White and Chase Owens. You have the Gorillas of Destiny against TBD, the Road to Royal Quest Tournament winners right now. Which that will be the winner of Aussie Open with Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis, or Josh Bodum and Shay Samuels. And then you have Tomohiro Ishii versus Kenta for the Never Open Weight Championship. That should be a hell of a match. You have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tanahashi for the British Open Weight Championship. Those two always have a stellar match. And then for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, you have Okada versus Suzuki. So I'm sure they're not going to be that heavy or hard on each other at all, Joel.
No. It's shaping up to be a good card, a great card. I mean, Japan, the G1 was amazing. And now with the rumblings of Shibata's profile changing and some speculation that Shibata versus Kenta at Wrestle Kingdom could be a possibility now, it's going to be very interesting.
So there you go. I mean, like I said, AEW is obviously the main event this week, but you know, you're not going to get a shortage on Saturday. It's going to be a very busy day. Joel and I will do our best to see what we can do for watching. I know Joel has a little bit of work during that day. I have the day off, so I'll see what I can do to watch. I'm going to do my best to watch NXT UK. I've seen clips here and there, and I've caught some stuff on the network once in a while. But I am looking forward to maybe catching the full show. That and the Japan card, especially Ishii and Kenta. I'm really excited to see that.
There's a lot of quality.
All right, let's talk about AEW. Should we just start with the pre-show and then kind of go from there with the stories of each match? Okay. So let's start with the Women's Battle Royal. Announced participants so far. We have Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, Ali, Brandi Rhodes, Teal Pepper, which is Roddy Piper's Teal Piper, Ivelisse, Jazz, Big Swole, Sadie Gibbs, Awesome Khan, and 11 other opponents to TBA. I'm going to guess one of those, it may be a Summer Rae. It would be a guess. We've seen her on Instagram training quite a bit lately, so I would assume it'd be Danielle Monnier, her real name. And that is the winner of that will get an AEW championship match against who? I don't know. Do you think it'll be one of the 11 announced? If so, who? If not, do you think it'll be one of the TBAs, Joel?
I think it'll probably be Britt Baker. I could see Britt Baker being the inaugural champion.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm really excited for them to have Ivelisse. I've loved her since her time on Tough Enough. I thought she was the standout woman on that show. Obviously, women like Mandy and now Sonya Deville hitting it out in WWE, but she kind of went an alternate past, and she hit it really big in Lucha Underground, and she was one of those that was, when she got out of her Lucha Underground deal, we knew she can make a big deal. So I'm excited to see Eva Lise get a chance. And I'm really excited to see Jazz still going. I don't remember the last time I saw Jazz. And a chance for a showdown between Jazz and Awesome Kong should be really cool. And I think Nyla Rose, you know, is the more we watched her, she's got a chance to go. And watching Piper's daughter should be very interesting as well.
That's someone you keep a very close eye on, because it's going to be very interesting how she does and how she translates, because she could be a 3-year project for AEW. Mm-hmm. If she signs a full-time deal with them, she could definitely be a 3-year project to slowly build up and get that level of being a mainstay for your women's division.
So, I mean, to some, the criticism of AEW has been in the pre-show for all the shows. You and I haven't been as hard on it. The Casino Battle Royal the first time got a lot of criticisms. I think one of the things you have to do is just for the audience, I think you got to maybe be a little bit more clear on some of the rules. Obviously, entrances were delayed and everything. I still really enjoyed the last Battle Royal, and I think you did as well, Joel. But maybe just be a little more clear. And they were very inconsistent with people's music and all that. I would assume by now they've kind of fixed the kinks from the last time they had this for the men. And for the women, it'll be nothing but smooth sailing.
It's going to be interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see how they deliver this. And it'll be interesting to see if they go back to this. This is the second time to do it. And if it still feels very all over the place and very frazzled and very kind of not clicking, then I think it would benefit them to drop this. But this is the second kick at the can to try it out and work out a few of the issues.
I would agree with you. I like Britt Baker in that as well. I think that she'll be the inaugural champion. Who she faces, we don't really know yet.
Well, the winner will receive a match, so they're not right. Receiving the title. So it's
no, I know. I'm just saying who they would face. I don't know yet. How the other woman will be determined, we don't know just yet.
I could see it being Nyla.
Yeah, could be. The other pre-show match we have is Private Party versus Angelico and Jack Evans. Private Party, they seem to really like them. They, you know, you've seen them featured on BTE a handful of times. I think the Private Party is going to win this one, as I think they see them as one of the future tag teams of the company and a long-term company. And I've said this kind of on the record and off the record to Joel. I don't know how long Angelico and Jack Evans will really be in AEW.
I don't know. I could see them sticking around for a bit. It's just finding place and finding a storyline and finding your footing, especially in a new company. I think Private Party is more than likely going to win this, but I could see them giving it to Jack Evans and Angelico and starting to build them up and have that a little bit of a longer build with Private Party. It's not bad to have long builds with guys that you have big plans for. It's just knowing where you're going, kind of slowly putting the bricks into the wall that you're trying to build for these guys to launch them forward.
The next match we got, before I want to get into it, it had a skit for it on BTE, and, you know, everyone's speculating about CM Punk showing up, and I you know, obviously they're going to shut down CM Punk. One wrestler that we could see is a guy that did make his debut on AEW, on BTE, was, I don't even know what they call him, John Hennigan, I guess we'll call him, John Morrison, Johnny Elite, Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Nitro. And his wife, Tyra Valkyrie, were on BTE. Number one, I wouldn't be shocked if Tyra Valkyrie is in that Battle Royale as long with Scarlett Bordeaux. I think those are two people you could also see in that women's Battle Royale. Do you think we see John Hennigan in AEW on Saturday?
It depends on his Impact contract.
He's done.
It's done?
Yep, he's out.
Then I think that...
According to John Pollock.
Then I think we could probably see him. Like, I know I was doing a little bit of research, and Killer Cross, they're at a stalemate with Impact and him. So he's just kind of sitting at home collecting checks. So I don't know what comes of him next. But if Johnny Impact or Johnny Mundo or whatever we're going to call him, Johnny fill in
the blank. John Hennigan. Johnny Elite.
I could see him in AEW. That would make sense. Or I could see him go to WWE as well, but I don't think it would be a bad spot for him to go to AEW for a bit. I think he'd be a good hand to have, and he'd be another guy that fills out your kind of your mid-card, upper mid-card scenario.
No one named too. Between him and his wife, I think there's a better chance we see his wife in the Battle Royal than we see him, though.
Yeah, he could be saved for the TV. He could have a match on the second.
Yep, he could. And again, another one of those women. Who are the other big women free agents? We have Tyra Valkyrie. We have Scarlett Bordeaux. You have Danielle Monnier. Is there anyone else you can think of? Emma's obviously with Impact, so I don't see Emma coming out there. Anyone else you can think of at the top of your head?
No one pops in the top of my head right now.
Yeah, I think everyone else, like, I don't think you see, like, a Melina or anything like that. I think they're all kind of still tied with WWE. And Kelly was a name I saw some people have, but I'm pretty sure she has a Legends deal now, and I don't think AEW fans want to see Kelly. But the six-man tag we have is Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Marco Stunt. Again, SoCal, SCU, Chris Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky.
This would be a good match. This would be good showing for Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. I'm not sure what Marco Stunt's going to do in this. I mean, he's signed to AEW. I know all these, there are people complaining that there's too many comedy guys and they're signing nothing but comedy guys. But listen, just because they're a comedy guy outside doesn't mean that they're going to be used as a comedy guy exclusively in AEW. Doesn't mean that their role is permanently defined and they have to forever stay in this pigeonhole of a comedy wrestler. And I don't know if being a comedy wrestler is a terrible schnick. It's not as much wear and tear on your body. And I don't think we'll ever see Marco Stunt really outside of what he is right now, unless he proves that he can be something more. So I see nothing wrong with this. The bulk of the work will be Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, and Daniels, Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky are great talents. So I think this will be a good match, but I could see SCU getting the win here.
Yeah, unless, I think they're going
to get... Yeah. Unless the plan is to push Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy into the finals for the tag team, which could lead to them getting the win here, because wins and losses matter in AEW. So this is where it becomes trickier to book.
Yeah, I know, like, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy have really got an offer with the crowd. So that's why I kind of want to lead to them. SCU, though, I think they're going to put them higher in the tag team echelons early on, and that's why I have SCU winning. But I could also see a situation where Marco Stunt pins Daniels as well. I could see that as well.
Yeah.
Next up, we have a singles match with Rio versus Shahida.
I think this will be a good match. Both these women have been standouts for their Joshi wrestling matches that they've had. I see Shida getting the win here. I think that she's a woman that they're really going to build around and elevate higher.
Yeah, the Joshi girls, Kenny's done a good job. Rio is so young. She's only 22 years old. There's lots of time to build her up. Shida, not that she's old, she's 31, but they really want to start to push her, with Rio having plenty of time to build up to her.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Cracker Barrel Crash.
Clash.
Is this a hardcore match now?
I don't know, but the barrel will probably be involved in this match.
So Darby, Janela, Jimmy Havoc. I really like Darby Allin. I think he's going to be the one that walks away with this, because I think he's the one that they're going to be pushing the most. Jimmy Havoc, like I've said constantly, just hasn't proven anything to me yet. I respect Joey Janela as a businessman, and in ring he's warming up on me. But I like Darby Allin to walk away with this one.
I do as well. I think that'll be Darby Allin's first win, and I think this could be a quality match. Like, this could be a good, like, that middle of the road, like a good serviceable match that helps hopefully elevates all three guys.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, these three guys are all known for their hardcore technique, so you're probably gonna get one of those hardcore blood and guts type of matches, as Vince McMahon likes to say about AEW. You have a tag team match where the winners will get a first round bye in the tag championship, with the Best Friends versus the Dark Order.
Dark Order wins.
Yeah, I agree. I think Dark Order may even win the first tag titles.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
no.
Having heels as your first champion is not a bad thing, because they have something to brag about, and then your babyface has something to chase.
They've been building them up so well, and I think there's a continuation of that going on. Next up, I'm not sure where to go here out of these final few matches, so I'm going to go to the one we're going to talk about a little bit longer. Pac and Kenny Omega.
This match was supposed to be Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley is injured. He's currently having surgery. He'll be back within a month. And if you saw the promo that Kenny Omega did in BTE, Kenny Omega showed that he's pretty good about doing that promo thing in wrestling. And this match should be really, really good, but it also built up even more anticipations for Omega and Moxley.
See, that's the thing. I think this can almost be seen as a blessing in disguise, because I think Moxley comes in even hotter as a babyface. And he's honestly, to spoil my pick, he'd be the guy that I'd have beat Jericho for the AEW championship.
Well, you have a little bit of story there already, because he did hit the what, it's not the Dirty Deeds anymore. What's it called now?
Paradigm Shift.
The Paradigm Shift onto Jericho. So as for this, this is going to be a tremendous match. They got Pac back in AEW after kind of the cluster with Adam Page that went back and forth. This one's tough to say, but
I'd have Pac win. You're telling the story that Pac's coming in to do a favor for you, because there's no guarantee that Pac's going to do any other dates for you. That was one of the things that Meltzer was reporting in. He has no idea what the future of Pac holds. This is doing a Pac and Dragon Gate's doing a favor. The realization is Dragon Gate will always be Pac's home. He will never have any other promotion he works for. It's just a secondary promotion. But I would still have him win, have him a sign of good faith. And the reality is you're telling a long-term story that Kenny is struggling to redeem himself. He's supposed to be your first AEW champion. He's supposed to be the guy that you build the company around. Based on that promo, he absolutely is. But you're basically kind of doing something similar with Okada last year, the redemption of Okada finally beating Jay White in MSG. I think you're doing something similar with Kenny. Or Kenny could fall into more of that cleaner role. We could see a heel Kenny Omega. So I think him losing here is more beneficial, but even as I'm saying that, I can absolutely see Kenny winning and beating Pac clean.
Yeah, I think Kenny's going to win just to add to the build-up about facing Jon Moxley, but I do think these two can have a tremendous match, and it is a dream match. It doesn't have as much of a build, but that's a lot of AEW right now. It's a young company that's bringing you in just from the anticipation of the past few shows. So
This match can't have any build, because this is a bandage match. This is, oh crap, Moxley's broken. We gotta just
for sure.
And I think that's the thing that people have to look at with this match, is any interest for this match and any of the heat that this match will generate will simply come from the wrestling aspect of this. Absolutely. I mean, I'd like to see a promo from Pac and from Kenny heading into Saturday, but I don't know if we're gonna get that. Even still, this is still two world-class athletes going at it.
Absolutely. I have Kenny winning that, and just kind of building up to face him and Moxley. Next up, we have the AAA tag titles in a ladder match. You have the Lucha Bros, Pentagon, and Phoenix against the Bucks. This is going to be a show stealer for sure. It's been one of the first real feuds in AEW, and really the main feud the Bucks have had this year, and they've obviously traded feuds, wins back in AAA and in A&W. Ultimately, I have the Lucha Brothers winning this, but it's going to be a great match.
Yeah, I think Lucha Brothers retain. This wraps everything up so that the Bucks can move on to the tag team tournament. But I think that this is going to be an incredible match. This is going to be one of those matches that if they do half the crazy things I'm envisioning they're doing, it's going to be off the walls crazy. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
They still haven't showed that move that was built up all that time in BTE.
They dropped that never completely.
Did they? Okay.
I haven't heard it mentioned on BTE at all.
No, I know. That's the thing. It's so bizarre. I think that match should be really good. And then Lucha Brothers, are they I know AAA works with AEW, but are they also signed with AEW, or they're just using them as via the deal with AAA?
I don't know, because someone had pointed out that AEW's website is constantly updated on talent signed versus talent that's not signed. And if you give me just a moment here, I believe that the Lucha Bros have a exclusive deal where they work America. They can only work televised for AEW.
I'm on their roster page right now. Phoenix is on the roster page, so.
Phoenix is on the roster page. Okay.
Yep. It's pretty, and it's up to date because Orange Cassidy is already on there as well.
That is the one thing that they take care of, and I think that's a good thing that you have a spot that you can easily go to get this information.
Pretty much all the roster is on this show. Pac is on the roster too, by the way.
And that was a point that I was going to make, that Pac has never left the roster. That Pac has always been on that that list. So it makes me kind of wonder if things are a little bit more smoother. And Pac had just dropped the Dragon Gate heavyweight title finally. So... And you see
interesting.
Pac, you see Michael Nakazawa. Kip Sabin's not on the show.
Sonny Kiss isn't.
Which I'm okay with. If you're going to have a little bit of a... you're going to keep guys fresh. I'm a little surprised that I don't see Pentagon on here.
Pentagon's on there.
Is Pentagon on there?
Penta L0M. He's next to Peter Avalon.
Okay.
Under so Nick.
Those are two guys that I absolutely think will be stars.
Yeah, so a good gift for them. I think that could be the match that's going to be good. The reason I went to this next match second is because it's had the best build, and Cody has been Mr. AW, realistically, for many reasons. But he has these matches at an all-in or whatever else it is. Cody's matches seem to be the best. They seem to take over. We're still wondering who Cody Rhodes will have to take out. My guess is MGF, and we'll see what happens from there. But Cody Rhodes versus Shawn Spears... from the chair shot that was heard around the world that I was not high on at all, but they've done a great job bringing in Tully Blanchard. Everything about this has been so good. The build has been good, and he gets to face the newly wedded Shawn Spears.
You almost forget this all started with a chair shot. You almost are so focused on Tully and just the promos and what Tully's been able to bring in the history, the Brandy promo, just... There's been so many different things that I think have worked. I think his second's going to be Arn Anderson, and I think Arn is going to never trust a horseman. That should be rule number one. As anyone that has the last name in the row, don't trust a horseman.
So you think Cody's coming down with Arn?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think history's going to repeat itself.
So no MGF on this show then, potentially, then?
I think MGF will have a role. I think he'll probably do a promo of some kind, and they'll build towards what's next for him. But I think Sean's getting the win here.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely would have Sean. There's no benefit to Cody getting this other than just to have the revenge. But this is the bigger arching story of Shawn Spears versus Cody to whatever they're going to build with Sean and Tully Blanchard, because it also helps with Tully with Sean having him. And I mean, Sean just got married this past week. He needs to keep the good week rolling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then we go to our main events. It is Chris Jericho versus Hangman Page and his whole family ringside for the inaugural AEW Championship.
Jericho gets the win.
And I agree.
I just want to put over that Jericho promo that closed in, that really, really good BTE. Just him talking about doing cowboy shit, and he's been doing cowboy shit all his life, and it's absolutely true. Jericho moves the needle. Having a heel champion is, I think, is beneficial. I think heels are far more entertaining as the babyface chases. I don't think Hangman's quite where he needs to be your world champion just yet. I think a heel turn for Hangman, like splitting up the Elite, may be beneficial, and kind of fracturing them off here and there would be good for everyone. But Chris Jericho having this win, because you've got to maximize the 4 years that you have of Jericho, and having him as your inaugural champion and having him never shut up about it is just, it's big. It would be big. and it could further a storyline, an overarching storyline with Hangman. And I still maintain I'd have Moxley take the title off Jericho. I'd have a longer build to Kenny finally getting that title. I would almost be tempted to have Kenny turn into more of the cleaner.
Yeah, I mean, you had a theory kind of how Chris Jericho is going to win this. So explain to everyone your theory with Chris Jericho winning this title.
Well, it wasn't how I think Jericho's going to win the title, but I could see Jericho's tag team partners being on October 2nd being the Young Bucks. And that being them turn on Kenny and leaving Kenny high and dry and basically be like, look, Jericho's riding high. Jericho's the inaugural champion. We got to do what's best for business. We're executive vice presidents now. We need to take care of what's best for us and best for the company. And you're just not cutting it. You're not what we thought you'd be.
Well, and they teased it on BTE too, right? With Heyman asking them to come out. So there's two things with this. I think I've watched wrestling enough through the years to kind of know how it works. So when you hear that the family is all going to be there, you're like, that means that Jericho's going to win. But a small part of me does wonder, with them all being friends and whatnot, and, you know, them always continually putting Heyman over, if that is the case, let Heyman, their friend, have his moment that they think he deserves. There is a small percentage of me that thinks that. I do think Chris Jericho's winning, though.
Again, it just moves the needle, and it just one more thing that Jericho won't be able to shut up about, and that's exactly what you want. You want yappy Chris Jericho. I mean, this is a guy that got the word "it" over, got a clipboard with him making up a list over. I put the title on him. I'm not saying have him do a very long run, but, you know, have him do a serviceable run and help generate some more interest and buzz. And like I said, you're going to have many years of Hangman. I don't know how many years of top-level Jericho you're going to have. And by top-level Jericho, I don't mean in-ring. I just mean promo and just the ability to sell people just by grabbing a microphone and yapping.
Yeah, so there it is, AEW with their first big, well, I guess their first like pay-per-view since Double or Nothing, and the last pay-per-view before television. We don't know when the next one's coming yet. It's the first pay-per-view since Fight for the Fallen back in July 13th, and it's a big show for them because this is going to be kind of the go-home before television, aside from, you know, stuff on YouTube, but a lot of the events on here are going to lead into what happens on television for them.
I'm excited. This is going to be a fun, wild ride. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see where this all goes. I'm ready for some quality television.
I will ask you this. If this show is bad, which I don't think it is, if the show is a bad show and it just kind of lacks in certain positions, how much will that affect the television?
Oh, it'll affect the television. If it's a bad show, it'll affect television. But I think there's enough of a gap that I'm curious to see. I don't think it'll be a bad show. And
neither do I.
Even if it is, it's a young, fledging company that will find its footing. I believe that they've spit out too many quality things to make me think that they're just going to be terrible. So, it's going to be interesting to see, but this is an important show. This has a little bit more riding on it. I think it's going to deliver.
Yeah, I think it's going to be show of the year by any case? I think the G1 is going to be pretty hard to follow at this point for any type of show of the year. But I do think they can have a really good show, and I'm excited just for the pendulum shift of what AEW can do as we get ready for a very busy next handful of months with the Fox move for WWE with NXT, and then inevitably with their debut on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, there's a lot of balls in the air, and it's going to be interesting to see what everything looks like on December 31st.
There it is, and there we go. So everyone enjoy All Out. We will be back next week with a recap of everything and then get you
ready for what's to come next in the world of professional wrestling. Congratulations to Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins on their proposal, and congratulations to Peyton Royce and Sean Spears on their marriage. And until next time, cheers.
You know, I won the G1 on my first try, and I have the shirt to prove it, too.
Enjoy the day, people.
And good night.